Welcome back. 122nd U.S. Open, Brookline. Country Club of Brookline. Really nice course, home of the 99 Ryder Cup. It's the fourth U.S. Open to be played there. It's one of my favorite courses. 99 Ryder Cup, outstanding. And I'm hoping this tournament is outstanding, but unfortunately right now, the dominant conversation, the narrative surrounding this, has nothing to do with what's going to happen on the course. And there are some potentially historic things that could occur later this week at the Country Club at Brookline. But instead, we're talking about something that absolutely has nothing to do with golf. Has to do with morals, ethics, loyalty, money, you name it. We were playing clips earlier from Phil Mickelson's press conference yesterday. And this is the one that really struck me. This is the one, because they cut off questions. They cut off questioning, but the media there, God love their hearts, they did the right thing. They kept asking questions even after the microphones were turned off. Phil's mic still on, and he was asked, what would he say to the families that are represented by this group, this 9/11 Families United group, that had sent him, DJ, and a few other guys a letter chastising him for involvement with the Saudi regime? And here was Phil's response.
Phil, do you plan to write to the families personally? It's not easy to address such an emotive issue in public. Would you prefer to speak to them or write to them privately?
I think I speak for pretty much every American in that we feel the deepest of sympathy and the deepest of empathy for those that have lost loved ones, friends, in 9/11. It affected all of us and those that have been directly affected. I think I can't emphasize enough how much empathy I have for them.
All right, I empathy, I get it. He says empathy over and over. He said the word respect 29 times. I went through the transcripts and counted. We were all traumatized by 9/11, all of us that were alive. We remember, we'll never be the same. But a lot of us were fortunate enough to, A, not have been in it directly, or B, to not have lost somebody. So that non-answer, I find to be extremely disrespectful to everyone. And he deserves a lot of criticism for that. Terry Strada, she's the head of 9/11 Families United. She lost her husband in the World Trade Center during the September 11th attack. She's joining us now to say Tama Hotline. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I appreciate you coming on, and you heard the clip. What is your response to Phil Mickelson's answer?
Well, I'm in total agreement with you. It was extremely disrespectful to the 9/11 community, you know, all of us, like you said, that lost somebody, and all of the injured survivors. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are living with the battle scars of 9/11. And he was extremely disrespectful to all of us.
Your organization sent a letter to Phil and some others last week. Did you expect any kind of response, or is the non-response about what you anticipated?
You know, you're always hopeful that they would respond with some type of respectful answer and possibly want to learn more about what we are trying to point out to them, that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, we have an abundance of evidence regarding their involvement with 9/11, and we are actively in a lawsuit against them in a U.S. court. And wouldn't they want to know more about who they're getting into bed with? And that's what we're trying to point out to them, that you are now partnering with the kingdom, and the kingdom is sports washing. You know, they are taking a time-honored sport that we all have a lot of respect for and enjoy watching and turning it into a charade. I think it's obvious, right? I don't have a business degree. I've never written a business plan myself, but I can see what they're doing because the obscene amounts of money that they're throwing at them doesn't make sense. Even the platform of the golf tournament itself, turning it from a highly competitive sport where you're going out there playing your best game against other best players with, you know, cuts if you don't make it. You know, they've just turned it into a, you know, weird way of let's all go play against each other, you know, eight times a year for obscene amounts of money and help the kingdom with their, you know, trying to buy respect on the world stage. It's all very bizarre to us.
Well, and Terry, I don't know if you saw on Sunday. I don't know if you're a golf. First of all, are you a golf fan? Do you watch golf? Do you play golf?
Yeah, big golf fan. My late husband was a scratch golfer, and he actually tried to be a pro. He played golf professionally for about a year before he went to work on Wall Street. My youngest was the captain of his golf team in high school, and both my other two children are really very talented golfers. It's been a big part of our life. I mean, you don't just watch golf because you enjoy the sport. You really enjoy the integrity of the sport. It teaches you so much when you're out there playing that game. And that's why we're just so disappointed that they are kind of turning their backs on all of that, you know, for a very large sum of money.
So you're familiar with the personalities in the game, and I'm not just talking about the likes of a Phil Mickelson, but I'm talking about maybe some other golfers. You're familiar with a Rory McIlroy, a Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes, definitely aware of these players. You know, I dare say that it looks like LIV Golf is kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, you know, with some of the golfers they're getting to come over to their tournament, because you've got players like Rory who have, you know, made their decision to stay with the PGA and with, you know, an organization that is highly respected as opposed to going over to the kingdom. I'd like to see more players, you know, turn it down and stay the course with the PGA.
Well, I'd like for you to hear one more thing. This is from Bryson DeChambeau yesterday. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Terry. This is during an interview with Golf Channel's Todd Lewis. We're going to play that now.
There has been obviously a lot of talk about where this money is coming from in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. What is your take on that? What would you say to the people that are critical of you of where this money is coming from?
You know, for me, it's a business decision first and foremost. Opportunities globally to do business with anyone and everything, and I understand people's opinions on that, but for me, what's gone on is not been great, but they are moving in the right direction from what I can see and what we've talked about and what we've had conversations about.
Terry, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm sorry, but he just sounds like an idiot. A business decision? Have you looked at the format of the golf you are now playing? How is that a sound, you know, business plan? And when you act like just doing business with the Saudis is normal, you are really mistaken that entity, that country is not deeply involved in a lot of other violations, you know, human rights violations other than what we are claiming that they've done, you know, to the 9/11 families or our country. I mean, that was a horrific attack on September 11th. And with all of this evidence, I have to tell you, this isn't a coincidence. The Saudis are very calculated in what they do. There are thousands of pages of evidence now being released by the FBI, and there is damning evidence against the kingdom that is being released, and they are just using these golfers, these professional athletes, to go on the, you know, world stage and, you know, try to give them reputational, you know, cover. They're being used by the kingdom. They're playing into their hand against American interests. That's what we're trying to point out. And hopefully that, you know, they will not be so tone deaf and hear our message loud and clear.
We're joined by Terry Strada, the head of 9/11 Families United. You can follow her on Twitter at Terry S. Strada. Terry, I hear those comments, and he says he sees improvement, or rather they're moving in the right direction. And it makes me think of what Greg Norman said, I believe, about a month ago, that the execution of Khashoggi was a mistake, and everybody makes mistakes. It's almost like everybody gets one. Everybody gets one. I don't know how people can actually live with that kind of hubris, with that kind of ignorance. And this is Bryson DeChambeau, who we prop up often as being this geeky scientist-like guy, one of the smartest guys on tour, but that is absolute ignorance coming out of his mouth. If you could sit him down right now, what would be the first word out of your mouth?
Well, you are 100% wrong when you believe that you are improving the game of golf by getting into bed with the Saudis. That's what I would tell him right off the bat, and I would have to then go in and explain to him how all of this evidence is coming out, how, you know, you are morally corrupt when you side with the kingdom. And I think we all know it's for an obscene amount of money. Well, why would they be throwing obscene amounts of money to you or anyone else? Because they want something in return. And what the kingdom wants is legitimacy and respect on the world stage. And it's called sports washing. It's a term that has been used before this incident, and you should be well aware of what it means. You know, it's when a country or a corporation is just trying to improve a tarnished reputation, and they're going to use sports to do it, and sports were never intended for that. And you are setting a terrible example for the children who are looking up to sports, you know, to you, and you are setting a terrible example for what America stands for.
Do you have a different opinion of somebody like Bryson DeChambeau, who basically says it is a business decision, as opposed to a Phil Mickelson who gives non-answers and keeps using the word empathy?
I think that both are, you know, egregiously mistaken in their statements. Phil is evading the questions. He doesn't want to answer anything, so that is insulting. But to call this a good business plan, like I said, I don't even have a business degree, and you're insulting my intelligence to call it that, because it isn't. So let's just call it what it is. It's sports washing. It's bribing you. It's, you know, giving you an obscene amount of money to go out and represent an organization that has not even given a good quality golf platform. I mean, you're just going to be a bunch of players playing against each other 8 times a year without television coverage, without a fan base. And you're not playing the sport competitively the way it was laid out to be played. You know, you've turned your back on your sport. You've turned your back on your countrymen. And you are making, you know, really, really wrong decisions in your statements.
Joined by Terry Strada, head of 9/11 Families United. Terry, is there anything that can be done to polish this at all? Is there anything that you want to see these guys do other than pick up and keep their butts at home and play on the PGA Tour?
I have been giving that a lot of thought the last couple of days. And I don't know if it's possible that they could, if they would meet with us, you know, or that me and or their agents, you know, where the letter was sent and want to sit down and hear what we have to say, would they possibly, you know, start to agree with us? And would they possibly start to, rather than ignore, you know, the kingdom's bad behavior and what they're trying to do and possibly support our position, that would be something that I would be willing to discuss with any of them.
Can they coexist? Can this organization exist in your world at all?
Live Golf, I think, is going to just burn itself out. You know, he's injecting billions of dollars into, like I said, a golf format that cannot sustain itself. And the kingdom is ruthless. As soon as one of these players is no longer useful to them, they'll just be cast aside. And, you know, they're not going, as long as we're going to beat our horn, and this information, all this new evidence starts to come and, you know, see the light of day, other players will not join. So I don't see its sustainability at all.
Terry, you've got a pretty prominent organization with 9/11 Families United. Have you had any contact with the people in Saudi Arabia? Has the kingdom reached out to you or sent an intermediary to you, maybe to tell you back off or anything like that?
No, the kingdom does not deal with me directly. But what we are pressuring the White House now is, and when President Biden makes his decision to go over there, we are working with the administration here in this country, how important it is that Biden brings up this discussion, you know, of accountability for the September 11th attacks. We've actually sent the president a very strong letter, similar to what the golfers got, pointing out that you cannot sit down with them and evade the conversation, the hard conversation about 9/11 and the deep, deep involvement. You know, now that we know that the kingdom set up a toxic anti-American pro-jihadist program within the United States prior to the attacks, all in an effort to set up the support network that was needed for the attacks to happen. So they financially and logistically gave it the support it needed. And the lifeblood of terrorism is money. And the petrodollars coming from the kingdom is what supports al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations. So the crown prince, he was young when the attacks happened. He was 16 years old. He needs to own up to his country's involvement, that we need the administration to be very tough on terrorism financing, and that is where this needs to be played out between the administration and the government of Saudi Arabia.
And Terry, if you could give me just a couple more minutes. I believe you're a mother of three, right?
Yes. That's right.
So tell us about your family after your husband died.
Excuse me?
Tell us about your family. What happened? How did your family cope after your husband died? What are they doing now?
Wow, yeah, you know, that's a full question there. It was very, very, very difficult. I mean, my children were young. They were 7, 4, and 4 days old on September 11th. It was devastating.
4 days old?
Excuse me?
Did you say 4 days old?
Yes, my youngest was 4 days old.
You had just given birth?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So it destroyed us. It destroyed our family. We were no longer, you know, this really incredible loving family, because Tom was just a wonderful father, brother, son, husband, and we were very, very happy bringing home our third child. So it was devastating and difficult, and I really struggled, and so did the children for a very long time, but we are doing the best we can. And you know, it's one day at a time back then, and still at times today. You just have to focus on the day in front of you. But they're doing better. I've got one that's in banking. I have my daughter's married. And the youngest, who was 4 days old, has gone through the most because he's also a brain cancer survivor. And now he's in the U.S. military.
Get out. That is incredible. Well, let me ask you this. Speaking of your late husband, you said he was a scratch golfer and attempted a shot at the PGA Tour pro career. Did he have a favorite golfer at that time? Somebody he looked up to, he tried to emulate?
Yeah, well, we were fans of Phil Mickelson. He was an up-and-coming golfer at the time and brought a lot of great energy, you know, to the game. But look, you know, all of the great favorites of Arnie Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, you know, because of the type of men they were. But again, they're amazing golf talent. You know, Tiger Woods was up and coming too back then. So, you know, we just had a great love of the game back then. All these 20 years, we and the kids still do, and we will continue to, because there are great golfers out there like Rory, you know, carrying on the long time traditions of how great golf is. So there's a lot of great golf to still be watched. And we will hopefully work things out, you know, with some of these players that have greatly disappointed us.
And Terry, my last question, the next 4 LIV golf events are scheduled to be held in the United States. Are you or your organization or some other organization planning any kind of protest, demonstration, or something such as that?
We're in the planning stages of our next steps. So I won't say that's off the table, but we haven't come to any, you know, 100% what we're doing next. We're actually, you know, this week going to be discussing all of that and deciding what our next steps are.
She's Terry Estrada. She's the head of the 9/11 Families United organization. You can follow her on Twitter at Terry S. Estrada. Terry, really appreciate your time, appreciate your candor, sharing your thoughts, sharing your history with us. And I hope we can speak again soon under better circumstances.
Well, thank you so much for, you know, covering this topic. It's very important, and I appreciate the time you've given me.
All righty. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
That's Terry Estrada, 9/11 Families United. Follow her on Twitter at Terry Estrada.